or Candidates Committee. ConservativesForAmericanExcellence.com.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
Don't you hate it when politicians try to mislead us? That's Marilyn Connelly. She's rated a D- in support of our Republican values. Not Mark Jones. Mark Jones is a 100% friend and fighter for our Republican values that have made Wyoming great. He's tough on criminals, will cut wasteful spending, and stands strong for our conservative family values. Mark Jones will get the job done in Cheyenne because he's one of us. On August 18th, please vote Mark Jones for House District 40. This message was paid for and authorized by the Friends to Elect Mark Jones.
Doug, I heard the heartbeat of America is back at Waring Chevrolet.
It sure is, Bob, and there's never been a better time to service your vehicle.
Great, because mine's making all kinds of noise in this heat.
Then bring it to the service department at Waring Chevrolet. We'll meet or beat any advertised price, and even better, receive up to $210 in rebates on brake pads, rotors, batteries, wiper blades, and cabin and engine air filters. The more qualifying services you have done, the more you can save.
Keep the heartbeat of America beating strong with service from Waring Chevrolet. Schedule online at WaringSheridan.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, August 12th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
It's nice outside.
Oh, yes, this is a nice change. I am looking forward to. I was looking at the weather last night and rain Thursday, Friday. I'm excited.
I can do rain. Yeah.
That doesn't bother. This will be great.
It's the onset of fall. We're going to talk about some things coming up rather soon. And it just reminds me, summer's about gone, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sad. I'm sad. It always goes so fast.
So let's talk about one of the first big opportunities offered by the Game and Fish going into fall, hunter education. What do we got going on around the area?
This is a little unusual this year. Usually, as you and I talk about every spring, these classes for hunter education are front loaded earlier in the year, when our volunteer instructors have a little more free time compared to summer and fall. But we do have a couple of local instructors that are going to be doing classes, and one that just happened that the Sheriff's Department led last weekend. So we've had some opportunities, and there are some more coming up for folks, and I have been getting phone calls from folks last minute, like, hey, I need a class, or my kid needs a class, where can I get them? So we do have a couple opportunities. Wanted to mention them on the show because they're not actually listed on the website yet, because they're still a few weeks out, so they're not posted yet. But want to encourage folks to keep an eye on the website. So if you go to our website, there's an education and camps tab at the top. And if you just hover over that, it'll bring up hunter education as an option, and you click that and it brings up everything hunter education. So that is where classes will be listed as soon as they go live on the website.
Okay.
So mid-September-ish, there will be a traditional in-person class. So this is where you come for several hours for in-person instruction. The instructor is going to limit it to women only. So, you know, women of all ages, but women only. And that will be here in Sheridan. And I believe he has it set up as like a 2-day class, so 2 full days. That will be posted hopefully in the next week or so. Another option, there's an internet completion course at the end of September. And that is the second part of the what we call the blended or hybrid learning class. So you do a certain portions of the curriculum online at your own pace, get that done, and then you just print out a completion certificate. And then you have to go to the in-person, what we call a completion course, and that's 4 to 5, maybe 6 hours. So it's just a kind of a half-day event. But that's where they're going to cover a few things in the curriculum that weren't covered in the online portion, and then go over laws and regulations, safe firearm handling skills. That's really the important part. The instructors want to see how people are handling firearms. Are they doing it safely? And answer questions. You know, you go through those online, you may have questions that come up, and you know, you're doing it online, so you're not sure. So that in-person part is really important, and it is the second required part. So they'll spend several hours, again, going over curriculum, some firearm handling exercises, answer questions, and then that actually is when you will take the test. So you do still take the same test that everyone else takes in the in-person courses. And it's, I believe, 50-question multiple choice.
Okay. When it comes to the women's only hunter education course, is the instructor just trying to open up opportunities for females within the community to join in on the hunting experience?
Yeah, this was his choice. He wanted to do. He's done one once before. Oh gosh, a year or so ago, I think. And had a good experience. And he said he really liked, making an environment for women to come and learn. So so this is the second one he's done. The first one was successful. So going to do a second.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, as you said, these haven't been put up online yet.
Right.
Do we have a timeline of when folks can start kind of babysitting that tab and jump on there?
I would say about a week, at least. Hopefully the mid-September one will come up in a week or so. The one for end of September will probably be a couple weeks out. One thing you could do on that Hunter Education page on our website, if you scroll down a bit, there will be a little box that says, looking for a class and can't find one. There's a little button you can click, submit a class request, basically. And so it just brings up a short form with your name, what region you're in, what town you'd be interested in taking class, and whether you're looking for the traditional or that internet completion, like, oh my gosh, I've already done the online part. I need to find that internet completion course. So it'll ask you which one you're looking for. It very brief, just a handful of questions, your email address, and then you submit it. And we get that information in a database, like a spreadsheet. And when classes come open in your area for whatever course you're looking for, you will get an email that says, hey, this is on, this is available in your area. And if you can't take that particular class, got a conflict, you can't make it, no problem. You don't need to do anything with that email. But you do need to go back in and submit another request.
Gotcha.
Because once we have sent you one notification,
You come off a list.
You come off the list because, we have hundreds of people around the state and we can't keep track of, this person actually did go sign up and they actually showed up at the class and they actually passed the class, so we give people one opportunity, like, hey, here's a class. And again, if you can't make it, absolutely fine. Just go back in and submit another request, get back on that list.
Okay. So that sounds like a pretty forgiving little process. You just got to remember, if you can't make the class, resubmit that form.
Yes.
Now, a question I had this morning when I was kind of looking at some things, I was wondering, have you gotten a lot of hunter education volunteers to jump up and step into the instructor role over the last few years?
We have.
I love some really
fantastic people. We've got, it kind of runs the gamut. We have one fantastic instructor who's been teaching for 50 years, more than 50 years.
Wow.
And we have some new ones. So it's kind of the whole gamut. You have, you know, someone experienced has literally taught hundreds and hundreds of students. There are hundreds of people walking around with a Hunter Ed card signed by him, including someone I know. And said, man, he made a huge impression on me when I took his class. So, you know, you have that experience and wisdom, and then brand new excited people who, really want to share their knowledge and passion with people. So, again, the sheriff's office just went through. They had several deputies get certified, which is awesome. And we have, oh, gosh, I can think of four, at least off the top of my head, that are somewhat new, like within the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years or so, that have said, hey, I'm going to do this, and stepped up and really offered a lot of classes. And
that is great.
It is. Yeah. And because, again, these are volunteers.
Yeah.
This is time consuming.
These people are giving their time.
They are giving a lot of time. And it's not just class time. It's preparation. There's a lot of preparation that goes into, you know, getting supplies, getting organized, figuring out what you're going to teach, what order you're going to teach things in. It is a huge commitment. And we have some really fantastic people. So definitely if you or someone you know, a kid, a grandkid needs a class, got some really stellar instructors around here.
That's fantastic. And I just want to thank all the Hunter education instructors out there for doing just what, you know, Christina said, passing on that knowledge, continuing this fantastic hunter culture that I think a lot of us grew up in. All right, let's talk about some angler issues that been around the state due to this horrible heat that has kind of been crashing down on us. Voluntary fishing closures. I've been watching this pretty close. This is an issue that I've kind of been paying attention to since my first reporting job, when they would send me down to get a report on the fish die-off around this time every year. And it just broke my heart to think, you know, these poor fish just got too hot and essentially suffocated in the water. It's horrible. So let's talk about some of the voluntary closures that the Game and Fish have asked. What are the ones that are currently in effect within our region right here?
Well, within our region, North Sales Ponds on Bud Love Wildlife Habitat Management Area. So that's outside Buffalo. So that's the Game and Fish Commission owned property. And Muddy Guard Reservoir number one, south of Buffalo. So both down in that Johnson County area. And they were places where our fish crew actually had temperature loggers in the water. So they could actually have some specific, like, oh my gosh, here's what the water temperatures are doing. And we did issue, again, voluntary, temporary fishing closures, just asking anglers to consider going elsewhere temporarily, because the water temperature readings they were getting were pretty regular at 78 degrees, and that's pretty warm.
Yeah.
You know, as water temperatures get to, you know, 65 to 70, you know, some of those temperatures, like you said, it's decreasing oxygen, making it harder for fish. It's they're going to have a harder time recovering, if at all, from you know, being caught, you know, even catch and release, which a lot of people like to do. That fish still may not survive just because it, you know, depleted oxygen and you know, just exhaustion from being caught. So even though these two places we know for sure, again, we had temperature loggers, we are advising folks that there certainly are other places that are going to have pretty warm water temperatures going on. Carry a pocket thermometer, give a quick test, make a decision, you know, should you fish there or maybe move to a higher elevation, or fish earlier in the morning, you know, after the water's had time to cool down overnight. A lot of times those early morning water temperatures are going to be lower, better for the fish. So, you know, just adjusting some fishing practices, I guess. And with this temperature change, it's quite possible that we will, you know, we'll still be tracking that. Our fish crew is still watching that. And if they get back down, we'll lift those advisories. But there are other places in the state as well that have some of these advisories. So encouraging folks, especially, you know, if you're going to travel and you want to, you know, go to a certain water body, take a look. We are keeping those updated on our website.
Okay.
Because, again, of course, we're not the only ones in the state dealing with high water temperatures. So if you go to our website, there's a fishing tab at the top, fishing and boating. If you hover over that, it brings up a couple columns, and at the top of one column on the right, it's fishing in the heat. If you click there, there's kind of these best practices we're talking about choosing when and where to go fish and how to handle fish and those kinds of things. But it's also listing all the waters in the state that we have some sort of advisory on. So before you travel somewhere, you might want to check it and see if that water's on there.
And I'll tell you what, you know, if you're kind of fishing for a catch and release, fishing for sport anyhow, you want something that's going to fight back, that's going to have the energy to really give you a challenge. And mm-hmm. and in that heat, these fish just don't have that anymore. It's really sad to see. So just follow these advisories if you can, folks. I'd greatly appreciate it. There's other fantastic locations a little higher up on the mountain. And I'll tell you what, I went up the mountain not too long ago. I'll bet the temperature difference was at least 10 degrees. From here to there, I didn't notice it until we came back down. And I realized how hot it was down here and how nice it felt up on that mountain. So it is a little bit cooler up there. All right. More with the Game and Fish when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Susan Bigelow, candidate for House District 51. For over 20 years, Sheridan County has been my home, and I've always believed in service above self. With the primary election just a few days away, I want to remind you that your vote is your voice. Our local communities from Sheridan to Dayton, Ranchester, and Bighorn are built on strong values, civil debate, and looking out for one another. But for common sense, conservative leadership to work, we need everyone at the table. We can do better than past turnout numbers, and it starts with making a plan. Read the candidate profiles at WyoFile Election Guide or in the Sheridan Press. Talk to your neighbors and encourage your friends and family to cast their ballot. To make voting simple for those in House District 51, visit BigelowForHD51.com. I've put a direct link there where you can check your voter registration, find your polling location, and print out a sample ballot before you go. Remember to bring your ID to the polls, and let's shape Wyoming's future together. I'd be honored to earn your vote. Paid for by Bigelow for HD 51.
Hi, this is Nathan Mullinex, owner of Sheridan Motors, and I'd like to say thanks for all the support you've shown us at Sheridan Motors over the years. And I always want to remind you, there's no need to travel out of town to buy a vehicle. We have everything you need, new, used, certified, used, and a spectacular service department. We're working hard for you, so come see us at Sheridan Motors. Now remember, Sheridan Motors is still offering 12% discount on all half-ton Ram and GMC pickups. So come down and see us at Sheridan Motors.
All bedroom and all home office furniture is on sale now at Mossholders Design Center. Mossholders has several in-stock bedroom groups ready for your home, as well as hundreds of collections which can be ordered in. Mossholders also has a number of in-stock writing desks, office chairs, and bookcases to get you organized this fall. So whether you're needing to update a master bedroom, guest bed, or home office, now's an excellent time to see what Mossholders has to offer. That's Mossholders Bedroom and Home Office Sale going on now. Mossholders, furniture is our passion.
By August, your vehicle has survived road trips, construction zone, dust, heat, and bugs big enough to have license plates. It's rattling, belching smoke, and swears it's never touching high-octane fuel again. Your car has the summer hangover, but Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan can help. Stop in for filters, fluids, batteries, wipers, and the right tools to get it done. Napa, helping your car recover from summer before it starts looking for a new home. Locally owned Napa Auto Parts on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt. Now, this is the, I guess, kind of the fall part that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, because we've got some early archery seasons beginning August 15th. That's what, 3 days? 3 days away.
Yeah, it's here.
Hunting season is upon us.
It's here.
What should hunters be thinking about right now to prepare?
Well, hopefully they've done quite a bit of preparation already, but, you know, because like you said, it is here and upon us. So, yeah, early archery season, some open August 15th. Others are going to have, you know, different dates in September that open up. So one thing to remind folks of, and we've been having quite a few people come into the office, is an early archery permit. So if you're hunting some of these early seasons, if you have a type 9, that is an archery only anyway, so you don't need
a
special permit in addition. It's just for some hunt areas that have an early archery season. You do need an early archery permit, and you can pick that up at the office or any licensed selling agent. But do take a look, of course, in the regulation book and see if that's even an option. Some hunt areas have them, some don't.
But that's how we find out. Head to the regulation.
Head to the regulations. Yes, we. You know, you can always see those online. We have printed copies. Licensed selling agents have printed copies. You know, have a set with you and look over it now. If you have questions, yeah. You know, anything that's new or different, or you don't understand, want clarification, look it over now, give a call. Another thing to check is your conservation stamp and whether that's valid. Yeah, it's been a few years now since we changed it. It used to be a calendar year, so people kind of always knew that, oh, I got it in January, so it's good through the end of the year, or I got it in March, it's good through the end of the year. But now you can buy it any time of the year and it's good for, you know, 365 days. So double check, you know, if you bought it September 1st last year, and it don't go out on September 15th because it's expired. Yep. So, and that's printed on your license. It'll show the date of how long your conservation stamp is valid. But we do have a lot of folks who it just, you know, it slips their mind, or they think they bought it in, you know, August, they bought it in March, and it's, you know, so just double check before you head out. Those are easy enough again to pick up at any licensed selling agent or our office.
That should kind of be on a hunter's checklist anyway, don't you?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Not just gear, survival gear, camping gear, hunting gear, paperwork.
Yeah, make sure you've got everything, you know, hunter ed certification. Everyone born on or after January 1st, 1966 has to have carry in the field proof of having hunter education. So the nice thing is with that is, again, if you've taken it the past several years, it's printed on your license when you buy a license, which is really, really handy. We've also tried to go back in, and I think most records are now entered. They've tried to enter a lot of the earlier classes from earlier years and get those tied to your sportsperson account so that when you print a license, it shows your certification. It's in small lettering. I think it says HE at the top. So take a look, because then you do have it with you. And again, it's nice to have everything in one place. Your license, your hunter ed certification, your conservation stamp, everything's there. So just take a look, make sure it's on there. And then you don't have to carry, you know, a separate card or certification. And certainly lots of preparation for public access, where you're going to go.
Something you and I talk about quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's really that important.
Yeah. You know, certainly on this side of the state, you know, we are predominantly private land, and it is a hunter's responsibility to know where he or she is at all times. So do some research, see what's accessible, what's not accessible. There are lots of tools, for state land. The Office of State Lands and Investment has a great website. Trying to determine what is a public county road. Every county has a great GIS layer. You can go and see those roads. You can go on our website, look at our hunt planner. That's got great information. One question we get a lot of every single year is, do we have a landowner list? People come in and say, hey, I heard you had a list of landowners who are taking hunters. And years ago, we did. We have not had that for many years now. People, either have an outfitter or they have the same hunters who've been coming back year after year and, have all the hunters they need. So we no longer have a list like that. But what we do have, if you go to our website under public access, there's a landowner assistance page. And so this is a place where if a landowner does have, maybe someone they had that was coming isn't going to make it, or they're trying to address some management goals on their property, they can work with our Access Yes coordinators to actually put their name, contact information on this website. It'll say, what species. It'll be very specific. What species, what hunt area, and they may have, additional restrictions like archery only or, does only, no bucks or, something like that. So there'll be information there. And that's a way that a hunter can go and look and see, okay, yeah, I do have a license for that area. I can and will abide by those restrictions, and they can get in contact with the landowner and check back, because that can change. If a landowner can go in, put their name on, and then when they're full, they can take their name off, and then it disappears off the website. So it's a good tool to check. Our hunter management areas, our walk-in areas, again, great opportunities, but also restrictions. Each property is going to be unique. So it's not a blanket, hunt everything during the open season on every property. We want landowners to have that flexibility to set parameters on, when, where, what species, that kind of thing. So make sure, go in, read those very thoroughly, and make sure, you can and will abide by, whatever guidelines they've set out.
Real quick, I've run out of time with you. Give me your 1 minute spiel on not releasing pets into the wild, please.
Yes. So this time of year, we do see, after events have come through where maybe like goldfish and different little critters are prizes. And, after a few weeks, people, I'm not into taking care of it. I'm over it. I don't want to have a goldfish anymore. So just a reminder not to release any of these pets out into the wild or any water body. Try to rehome it into another aquarium. If you're at your wit's end, give a call. Reed, our aquatic invasive species specialist, will visit with you and see, we've had people say, how do I safely empty my aquarium where I'm not going to accidentally get things into a waterway? So he can help you with that. So give a call. But goldfish can and do survive even in our very cold temperatures.
They are a hardy species.
They are hardy. They reproduce in huge numbers. And there are many cases around the state where water bodies, hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years to go in. And basically you have to in most cases, you're going to have to remove all of the fish and restock and go back in. So they can cause real, real problems. Please don't go release any of these thinking you're doing a kind thing. I don't want to take care of it anymore, but I'm going to put it into this pond where it'll live. It causes a lot of problems. So rehome it into another aquarium if someone else wants it. And if you don't have other ideas, give us a call.
Christina, I always have fun talking with you. I always end up learning something, and you give some great information. Hunters out there, I'm hoping that they get all of their information in, make sure that they've got all of their access information down, and that they have a great harvest, and you really help with that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the U-Cross Artist Residency. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Riley, do people still write checks?
They do, Bob, but most customers would rather pay online with a card or even a QR code.
Is that expensive for a smaller business?
Not with AutoBooks from First Federal Bank and Trust. You can send payment links, create checkout pages, or use QR codes, and payments go directly into your First Federal account.
So no extra apps?
Nope. Everything happens securely inside your First Federal account, backed by our local cash management team. Learn more at efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Have you been thinking about going back to school? Get answers tonight at Sheridan College in Sheridan or the Buffalo campus for Walk-In Wednesday tonight from 3 to 7 p.m. Explore more than 60 academic programs, including trade certificates, associate degree programs, and even a bachelor's degree in management. Talk to real people, get real answers, and register for classes that could change your future. No pressure, no appointment, just possibilities. Sheridan College, explore a new path. See you tonight.
To whom much is given, much is expected. But multimillionaire Steve Freeze hasn't given much of anything. Silver-spooned Steve Freeze stiffed Trump at every turn, refusing to give a cent to his campaigns. Not in 2016 against crooked Hillary, not in 2020 against sleepy Joe, not in 2024 against crazy Kamala. Instead of helping Trump, Freeze blew the family fortune bankrolling Democrats and funding never-Trumpers like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney. Freeze's main job? At his family foundation, Freeze just sits around handing out grants. Now he's trying to buy a congressional seat. But Wyoming is not for sale. And Steve Freeze is all hat, no cattle. A silver-spooned never-Trumper who's wrong for Wyoming. Paid for by Hometown Freedom Action Network and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. HometownFreedom.org. Hometown Freedom Action Network is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Glenn Drummond, candidate for Sheridan County Commissioner. Common sense government means finding the problem, fixing it, avoiding waste, and taking responsibility. That practical approach has always guided Sheridan County. I grew up here, and I know this county values steady leadership, clear thinking, and straightforward decisions. By working together, we can keep things running right. That is common sense government. That is Sheridan County. Vote Glenn Drummond for Sheridan County Commissioner. Paid for by Glenn Drummond.
VacuTech in Sheridan is now hiring for a wide variety of production positions, including welders and powder coater technicians, and opportunities are available from entry-level to highly skilled positions. Whether you're looking to build a new career or to take the next step in your current one, VacuTech offers competitive pay, corporate benefits, and opportunities for advancement. Apply today through the National Car Wash Solutions career page.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, we're joined by the U-Cross Foundation President and Executive Director, Caitlin Adlisberger, and Communications Associate, Emmy Whiting. Good morning. Welcome back to the show, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Floyd.
Oh, very good to have you here. This is Caitlin's first time in studio. You and I are usually talking over the phone. U-Cross is quite a ways out there. I completely understand. but I always really do appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you showing up. And welcome to the studio, my friend.
Thank you. It feels good to be here.
All right. Now, how has the summer been out at U-Cross?
I would say this summer has been delightfully busy and full. We have had special residencies, special artist residencies through our special invitation series, as well as our partnership with the Sundance Institute. So we had 20 filmmakers on site in mid-July.
Wow.
And then just a week ago, we welcomed the first fellows for our summer residency or for our fall residency. So we are officially back in session through the end of the year.
Now, how many times are residents showing up at UCRUS throughout the year? Is that, do you guys do it by season or do you do it by quarter? How's that work?
We do it by season. So we have a spring session from February through early June. Then we have a summer session that does include a few residents through a kind of a special invitation series, whether there are people who we just know really need time and space, artist alumni, or somebody who for some very serious reason couldn't come for another session. We'll bring them back in early June. And then we have our partnerships like Sundance Institute come in the summer. And then we have fall from August through early December.
Now, we've got a big gala coming up. Now, the UCRUS gala is kind of a bigger gala every year that takes place out there. It's a major fundraiser, correct?
Yes. So we usually have it in Wyoming every other year. Last year we had it in Houston and I was here for that. I was working for that. But this year is the first year I'm going to be working while it's in Wyoming. And I'm so excited to see it come together.
Yeah. Tell me who and help me with this name. Naoma?
Naoma. Yep.
Naoma Tate is. And what she did with a couple of great big bronze bison. I read this story and I was like, holy cow, I don't know how they accomplished that one.
Naoma Tate is just a very dedicated supporter of the arts. She is also on our board along with the Buffalo Bill Center board. She's on the board for the National Smithsonian Museum. Wow. And she ended up donating two bronze bison to where do they sit now? They were around the country, but where do they sit?
Yes,
now?
They traveled all around the country and now are flanking the opening doors of the Smithsonian's Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C.
Amazing is that? That is pretty cool. Two large bison welcoming you to the Smithsonian Natural History. That is incredible. How are we going to celebrate her?
We are thrilled to offer Naoma the Outstanding Patron of the Arts Award. So we will be presenting that to her at the UCRUS Gala on September 24th.
What is this award and where did it originate?
UCRUS began this award in 2018 and we have thus far presented it to the governor, Mark Gordon and Jenny Gordon, the First Lady. And really, the goal of this award is to recognize somebody who is just a really dedicated patron of the arts. You know, we've had patrons of the arts as long as we've had the arts. You know, you think back to the Uffizi in Florence, and an artist residency program is such an amazing way to support artists directly and know that we will take care of selecting these artists who need time and space and who are having a real impact on our culture, our nation's arts and letters. And so we're really thrilled to be able to recognize those patrons in this way. And Naoma has done so much for the arts locally in Wyoming. You know, she's based in Cody. As Emmy said, she's on the Buffalo Bill Center of the West board.
Love that place. Yeah.
It's so great. I know they're so great for our state. And then across the region, you know, she's on the Utah Symphony and the Utah
Opera.
Oh my goodness.
Boards. And then of course, nationally, as Emmy said, she's on the Smithsonian board, on the Natural History Museum Gemology board.
Yep. The Leakey Foundation Trust for Scotland Foundation, USA. Because her family originally immigrated from Scotland. So.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, I think that's absolutely amazing. What a true patron of the arts. I mean, really kind of dedicated a very large portion of her time and her resources to doing these things, to really put it in the forefront, which is so important. And something that we talk about a lot on this show. I know I tend to get off on little side trails when you guys bring artists in and I get a chance to talk to artists and performers. It's just so unique, a perspective of creativity. Now, when it comes to presenting this award, what does it mean to UCRUS to present this award to its patrons?
For UCRUS, I would say it is just such a celebration of somebody who would donate so much time and resources to support artists and art organizations, especially at our gala. You know, UCRUS is a nonprofit organization, so it's really meaningful for us specifically to receive funding in that way. And so we are just thrilled to recognize someone who shares our values of supporting artists and the creative process in general.
Now, when it comes to beyond the award presentation itself, what kind of evening are we planning to have at the gala?
It's going to be a very magical evening. You know, it's always so special to have this event on site because it is such a special, like a celebration of everything that UCross is. And at its core, UCross is an organization that fosters that creative spirit. And so we imagine that the creative spirit will be really sparked during this evening at the UCross Gala on September 24th. We won't give away too many details, but you'll as soon as you drive down the iconic Big Red Lane, you will really be transported into another world celebrating our artists and residents. So we'll have live plein air painting happening. We will have live performers right away during the cocktail reception. Guests will be invited to explore the UCross Art Gallery and see directly what that impact of time and space can look like on the creative process and on people's artwork, on artists' artwork.
Yeah.
And then we'll all come together for this epic dinner prepared by Basil and Bloom, this really wonderful, artful caterer based in Billings. And we've worked with them ever since we've had the gala in Wyoming. They also create these beautiful sculptural floral designs that really transport you and transform the space. And then we'll have the award ceremony celebrating Naomi Tate. There will also be a lively auction.
Now, I want to get into the auction, but one thing that I've said on here before, and that is food is art. And so yes. I love that you pointed that out because, you know, I don't know if a lot of people have shown up to some big event, but then you're so impressed with either the presentation of the spread or the way that they managed to cut a melon. It just blows your mind and you're like, I don't even know if I should eat this or if we should put this on display.
I was going to say, my knife skills are not like that.
Food can be such a fantastic art, and it's so great to have somebody who understands that and a food artist come in and just add to the entire ambiance of a gala at an artist residency in a foundation. Now, let's talk about that auction. What are some of the do we have auction items that we can talk about, or is that some of the things that you want to hold back on just a little bit?
So we'll be announcing which exact items are going up later. Same with performers. Later this month, we will be announcing which performers will be joining us, and they're all going to be UCross alumni.
How cool is that?
I would just keep an eye out for that.
Now, for those interested in attending, how do I get my hands on a pair of these tickets?
So you can go to ucross.org. We have it linked all on our homepage. Like I said, ucross.org, and you can also go to the support tab. It's right up there, too. So,
all right. Yeah. Now, when it comes to fundraising, like the UCross Gala, we all know it's important to keep UCross operating, but tell me how it's used to really support these artists who are looking for this residency to get away, to have a moment, to truly focus on art. Because I've heard a lot of stories from artists over the years, and of course, you tell me these stories as well, that everyday life can get in the way of creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know that. And so it's a rare opportunity for a lot of these individuals to have how long?
2 weeks, 4 weeks, or 6 weeks totally uninterrupted time mm-hmm. and staff support.
6 weeks of just focusing on your creation, whatever that may be. Because you've had literary, you've had painters, you've had sculptors. I mean,
Composers, dancers, choreographers, yeah. Multidisciplinary. And yeah, just basically across disciplines, we will support fostering that creative spirit. So
Caitlin, what would happen if fundraisers like the gala and others that you have weren't to happen?
I think, you know, it's so vital to support the arts if that's something that you value. And I hope that everyone listening does value the arts. You know, I think it's easy to take the arts for granted, but really, we are so immersed in it, and we're really lucky in Sheridan County to have so many arts organizations who share this commitment. So that, you know, I was just downtown, and you're walking downtown and surrounded by, of course, the sculptures that Sheridan Public Arts Committee puts up. You have the YO Theater providing the performing arts, Sage Community Arts, and their incredible support of local artists. So, you know, of course, on a very local level, it's very important to have the arts. And then organizations like UCross function really nationally. And so we're supporting working artists who are pushing their discipline forward and experimenting with avant-garde styles. And it's really exciting that that's all happening also here in Sheridan County.
Tell me about the first time you walked in to an artist's work and it took your breath away.
Ooh, what a good question. Do you have one, Hemi?
Well, I have one that sticks out to me just from our last session, and that was Natani. Mm. And I forget her last name right now, but her work was just so stunning. Her use of empty space on her paintings was incredible. And it really inspired me because sometimes I think when I'm painting, empty space means not finished.
Yeah.
But
wow, yeah.
It was so refined and delicate and just gorgeous. So her work really took my breath away. Natani Natoya, I believe her last name was. But yeah, it was the first time I was like, oh my gosh, I want all your pieces. And again, it really inspired me to use my empty space.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, to appreciate the idea of empty space. That was something that I learned in photography as well. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of that, because you are a little bit. And I don't mean you specifically. I mean
all of us.
People.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially as artists, we're a bit biggest critic, you know. But
and what you said was fantastic. The idea that, okay, well, empty space means not finished. Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. really. No, it doesn't. Caitlin, did you manage to pull one out?
There are so many. It's very hard to decide, but I can say one especially moving moment was an open studio that we had in the Raymond Planck Center last session, the last spring. Yeah. And there was a spoken word poet who just was really powerful in the way that they presented and then really explored out loud their creative process and kind of what that looks like in this age of artificial intelligence.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was funny and it was moving. I mean, I think we all left that open studio in tears in the best way. It really is. I mean, what a gift to get to hear what that the impact of time and space can do for somebody. And then also have that connection to something that we're currently all grappling with and trying to understand the place of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What got you interested in working at UCross to begin with?
I grew up in Sheridan and grew up attending public events at UCross. You know, back in those days in the 90s, there was a series of 4th of July events that were really popular. So bands like the Powder River Boys and, you know, early Dave Munsick iterations would perform. There'd be, you know, watermelon eating contests. It was just a really wonderful community event. And some of my earlier memories, I think I've even mentioned on the show before that when I first realized that the world was round and I understood kind of what that meant was at UCross because we have dark skies. And so I remember twirling around on the grass as a little kid and falling backwards and just saying, oh, wow, you know, we really are on a planet. Like this is, we are in this universe. And then grew up going to the art gallery as well. And then when I moved back to Wyoming, maybe 7-8 years ago, I was just so thrilled to be able to have access to the incredible art that our artists have. So I was living in Brooklyn and the same author who was presenting at Greenlight Bookstore when I left was also giving a talk at Sheridan College.
Oh, wow.
And my husband and I were just stunned and really realized we had moved to, you know, back home to such a gem of a community. And yeah. I think UCross really supports with that. So it is a dream to work here.
And I think it's so great that obviously your parents really had a lot to do with this. We're going to take her out there, you know, and they were enjoying it too, but having the little one with you when you go to these art presentations, when you go to these talks, when you go to these galleries, that can have such a profound impression on a child. And that's why I wanted to segue into the fact that right now the UCross Art Gallery is open to the public. Who do you have to contact if I want to take my little one in there, walk around, look at some of the most beautiful art that's up here?
thanks to funding, we are actually happy to be able to offer the UCross Gallery for free for anyone to come in on our regular hours, which is Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4. And you can come in anytime, take a look at what we have going on. We have Travis Ivey in the Big Red Showcase right now. Our main gallery has In Company, which has 14 different artists, 7 of them UCross alum, and 7 of them were invited by those UCross alumni to kind of show this interconnection between them and their chosen inspiration. And then we also do have our Confluences, which is our in-place sound experience, and that just takes place along the grounds, too, so you can wander the grounds, and the app for that will show you where to go. And interactive areas of sound will play, and it's really special.
Yeah.
And then Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, we have our ranch house open as well. And we just reopened that back in June. It had a fresh remodel, but it is still on the Register of Historic Places. And with that, we have Aaron Waddell's pieces in there right now, too, for the Big Red Showcase. So we still have art in there. We have kind of miscellaneous pieces of alumni art in there as well that UCross has purchased. So
you can grab up the family. You could head out to UCross and make an entire day of art and sound and really take in the property, the surroundings. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could be an entire experience, and it's all free.
Yes. Yep.
Absolutely amazing. I've run out of time with you. Is there anything else that either one of you would like to talk about or just touch on before we take off?
I think that Emmy's point that we are able to offer this community programming year-round for free is an excellent point. And it is because we are this 501c3 nonprofit organization that is funded by private donations, individual donations. And so we hope everyone is able to turn out for the UCross Gala on September 24th to learn more and celebrate about everything that UCross does, as well as we hope support your local nonprofit residency program.
I want to thank both of you for coming in this morning. Caitlin, it's fantastic to see you. I love hearing you over the phone, but I love seeing you in here. I hope you guys are safe heading back there. The deer are on the move.
Yep.
Thank right. you, Blade.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Riley, what if I told you your phone could become a credit card machine?
I'd say that's exactly what Tap to Local does at First Federal Bank and Trust.
Wow, seriously?
Yep, just open the First Federal mobile app and accept contactless card payments right from your smartphone. No extra hardware, no bulky payment terminal.
That's pretty handy for vendors, food trucks, or anyone on the go then.
Exactly. Learn more at efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Just over 8,900 Sheridan County residents, more than one in four of us, our seniors. Demand for services is growing, costs are rising, and funding is becoming less reliable. On August 18th, voters will decide whether to create a countywide senior citizen service district. Vote yes for a local solution to a growing need. The district could levy up to 2 mills on taxable property to support these programs, with no levy taking effect before July 2027. The amount would be set each year by a voter-elected board of trustees. And every 4 years, voters would decide whether to renew the district. A single levy would generate $623,000 for programs serving Sheridan County seniors. A yes vote helps protect transportation, meals, and wellness programs, including services offered through the Hub on Smith that help Sheridan County seniors remain independent and engaged. Learn more at SheridanCountySeniorDistrict.org, paid for by Sheridan County for Seniors 2026 PAC.
When did campaign promises become campaign fiction? This time of year, everybody's a conservative. I'm running for House District 29 to keep Wyoming headed in the right direction. If you're concerned about election integrity, wasteful spending, and government intrusion into every aspect of your life as I am, I'd appreciate your vote on August the 18th. It's my goal to leave Wyoming an even better place than we've enjoyed. I'm James Temple. I paid for this message and I approve of it.